it doesn't get any cooler than this to start a radio show or a podcast. What are we doing? I don't know anymore. It's just humbling. Yeah, I don't care what you kids say. You know, this is radio. This is what it was supposed to be like. You know?
Really?
I don't know what it was supposed
to be. Excuse me, I was
like.
Half listening. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, I just described the last 30 years. I was half listening. What were you saying? Yeah. Not you. I mean, you to me.
No.
Yeah. Hey, Phil, so when did we decide, like, we're not going to do... Oh, we won't come back. We'll just do this. We'll say hi, cool song, and we'll go to the Phil's intro, and we won't come back.
And then we'll just move on.
Yeah, I wouldn't crunch back into this song. This is a great song.
No, absolutely it is.
This is a timeless classic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so are we. Mm-hmm. Hey, everybody. Great to be with you on this Humble and Fred Thursday. And now is the as Reverend Al starts to fade, let's say hi to Reverend Phil.
Hello, fella.
The following holy episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Palma Pasta, CDN Technologies, and our newest sponsor, Sticker U, where you can get your stickers on Queen Street or order anywhere in the world. If you'd like to talk to Humble and Fred, call 1-833-437-8465. That's 1-833-HF-STINK. And now from the worldwide headquarters of the Humble and Fred Show, here are Humble and Fred. I needed love,
most of all. Welcome, everybody. A young singer on our program today, Jaden Lamb, and her hot new single, Bad Sign. She's actually going to be performing in our studio today, which will be nice. Also, Dan Duran. And yesterday, we had this told the story about running into a Humble and Fred fan, who's very, very nice. Ray was his name. Comes up to me as I was leaving the movie. He's like, oh, Humble and Fred, you know, nice to see you, all that Humble and Fred stuff. And I just at that moment, the great Dan Duran came around the corner. I said, well, Ray, this is Dan Duran. And we found out he just was starstruck. He just looked at Dan Duran and went, legend.
Legend.
Anyway, Ray has a different nickname in mind. And when Dan Duran gets here, I will reveal that nickname.
Very good.
Yeah.
Well, yesterday's show was called The Legend That Is Dan Duran.
Yeah, it's pretty special stuff.
Yeah, he got top billing because he's a legend.
Well, okay, I'm going to tell you something. Fully aware you're going to mock me, make fun of yourself. So I had a conversation yesterday where I was talking to a potential client for me as a performer. And I was talking about the other people that had been performing at this event before me. And I was like, hey, just so you know, like, you know, that's some pretty heavy hitters. You know, I don't know if I can live up to that. And he said, oh, stop selling yourself short. And then he said the following thing. He said, after all, you're Toronto radio royalty. That's what he said.
Wow.
Did he?
And I went, okay, wrote that down. I can't wait to tell the Fred man that mm-hmm. that he's working with Toronto Radio Royalty, which I guess would include you, too. You'd be royalty.
Well, royalty, that
means... We're in the royal family now.
Hello.
Hello.
Royalty, that means lay around and suck off the, you know, the public teat.
I just wish. I wish. I should have done what Steve did. Edmonton Steve just CBC'd his way through the entire career. Mm-hmm. Beauty. And the irony is now that he's not a CBC mm-hmm. employee, he's doing great. Well, he was doing great before.
Yeah.
He said those words. Toronto Radio Royalty.
All kidding aside, that's a nice compliment.
Yeah, it was very nice.
That's fitting. How come is it nobody on the inside of radio considers you, you in particular?
No, us.
You radio royalty. Us. Yeah. Why no one on the inside? We've had that problem traditionally. All the outsiders love you. The insiders, no, we're nitwits.
Right. Maybe the Republicans.
maybe they have coronavirus. They've got coronavirus. They're eating at their brain. By the way, Tony Clement's coming up at 7:30 to talk about the virus.
That's right. Tony
he's our correspondent.
He's a virus central. I started watching Pandemic last night on Netflix, and I said to Rachel, just what you said, that they must have...
first of all, two things. Did they have, because it just came out a couple weeks ago, but I said the streaming for this must be through the roof, and you confirmed it this morning.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's that. There was also a movie, wasn't there, in the last few years about some virus?
Epidemic, I guess.
Oh, was that the name of it?
I'm thinking of it.
Oh. You know, back in 95, remember that outbreak with Dustin Hoffman? Rene Russo, I think, was in that or something. But anyway, it was about the first episode was the woman who's in charge of viruses in New York City hospitals. And it's pretty, what were you laughing?
I'll tell you.
No, you tell me now.
I told you before.
What?
I said, we're going to the airport tomorrow.
Oh, right.
And that's my wife.
Oh, yeah.
This is serious. Mm-hmm. Plans on wearing a mask. She walked out of my father-in-law's last night with a few masks that he wears at the hospital during his dialysis. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm giving out too much information. But I said, what are you doing? And she said, I got the mask from my dad. I said, what for? She said, for the airport tomorrow. And I said, okay. She said, you don't want one? I said, no. That's fine, honey. You walk around in the mask, and I'll be taking all sorts of pictures.
Oh, you should.
And sending them to friends and family.
Right. You should. You should get back on Facebook just for that.
The profile pic.
You know, on one hand, I got to admire that. I mean, that's taking a step, I guess, that most of us wouldn't. And maybe she's the smart one. I don't know.
Was it at my wedding or was it at a promotion where Darren got all those masks of my face?
Oh, right. Oh, I was going to say, was it at my wedding that Dahl wore a mask?
Was at your wedding. She wanted you to wear a mask. No, what you should do is it's too bad we couldn't find an old mask from that. You could just show up. You say, okay, I'll wear a mask, and it's the Hellman.
Mm-hmm. But you walk, I was going into Costco just across the street here the day before yesterday, and a woman was walking into Costco wearing one of those, what do you call those masks? What are they called?
I guess it's just medical surgical masks.
Surgical mask.
Well, unlike a lot of Torontonians, and this is what the big discussion was before the show, unlike a lot of Torontonians, I was in Chinatown last night. Around Spadina in college, there's a ramen place I like. Can't remember the name of it. Is it Ajisan? Yeah, with the little
statue.
The
one with the cute thing, yeah.
Yeah. You know, can I ask you a question?
Sure. That's why I'm here.
I just don't seem, and it's not because of forgetting anything. I'm just not really good when we go to a restaurant. I don't always, like, Rachel can remember, hey, remember that time we went to so-and-so restaurant? And I'm like, sure. I just don't always remember the names of them. Like, well, I remember...
Oh, yeah.
You know, I remember going to it. Like, we went to a restaurant, all of us, a few weeks ago. I know the name of it because it's recent. And I've gone there in recent times. Mm-hmm. But this place that Phil just referenced, I know where it is, and I know I've gone there before. I just couldn't tell you the name of it. Anyway, I'm in Chinatown last night, and it was in the evening. Everything seems fine, but you're saying people aren't going to Chinatown.
Yeah, remember last year we went out one day. You recommended that barbecue place where they had the lemon pepper wings that
Bark, B-A-R-Q-E,
right.
I know what it looked like. I remember how much I enjoyed the lemon pepper wings, which are my new favorite. But I couldn't tell you the name of that place. So if somebody said, let's go for lemon chicken wings, I'd be lost. I'd have to phone you.
You know, I will say this. I'm completely off the saucy wings. Don't like them anymore. Just really? Like, I like lemon pepper. I like any dry rub. I'll do Cajun. I'll do salt. I like, a simple wing.
Yeah.
A salt and pepper wing.
Absolutely.
Hey, I'm going to be watching the Super Bowl in a Mexican bar on Sunday. What is Super Bowl food in Mexico? What would that be?
Super burrito.
Yes. Lots of nice fresh tacos.
But here it's like, well, nachos you could have there with guac, I guess.
Yeah. Okay.
But would they have wings and stuff?
They probably would. Yeah.
Mexican wings.
No, Mexican.
Mexican wings.
They don't do wings in Mexico.
Apparently no chickens in Mexico.
They have wings and stuff.
Do they have Mexican wings?
Hey, Fred, this is Mexico. We don't do wings.
Look, cayenne pepper.
What is their answer to a wing?
Anyway. Yeah, I want a bowl of cartel wings.
Take a burrito. Yeah. Take a burrito.
Why can't I find this stupid... What's the song? Is it Mexican radio?
Yep.
God dang it.
Yes,
all the moments passed.
Oh.
I wonder down in Mexico, too, you know, this whole coronavirus. I wonder how many jokes. Guys sitting around bars and you know, in Mexico and Playa del Carmen, whatever, whenever they order a Corona,
mm-hmm.
all the cheesy jokes that are flying.
Mm. Oh, boy.
Imagine.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine? Also, Corona is also, it's a part of the penis as well. You know that. It's an area.
Phil?
It's
yeah,
an area
Phil.
Of the penis.
Oh.
Phil.
The Corona.
Yeah. Don't, every time a penis is mentioned, you don't need to laugh like a child. Okay.
It's serious stuff.
Serious stuff. Corona, part of the penis.
Yes, it is.
I'm doing research right now.
Now, you don't have that.
It's a very
walk.
Sensitive part, I believe.
Oh, yes,
yes. Uh-huh. Oh, Phil. Yes.
The conical sensitive structure called the gland's penis.
Yes.
The base of the glands has a projecting margin, comma, the corona.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the groove where the corona overhangs the corporal cavernosa is referred to as the neck of the penis.
Mm-hmm. But it's interesting. So you wonder, when they come up with this coronavirus, what are they thinking? I think you said that the other day. They should have named it something else. Because there's the prop, maybe one of the world's most popular beers, and a section of the penis.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Mm. That's right. Well, we have this outbreak. Should we call it a... Should we call it Heineken? What about a nice... Should we call it Guinness? The Guinness virus!
It's dark and stuck.
I think you're right, though. The next person, and you'll be there. You'll be in Mexico. You'll be at a bar.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Playa del Carmen. And I think if somebody goes, can you give me a coronavirus with lime? I think everyone should be able to slap them.
Well, see, I think the funnier joke would be, hey, bartender, bring me a couple of virus. Right?
Yeah,
do it.
And she'd go, senor, that's been used.
Senor. Yeah, give me a couple of, here, hey, give me two viruses and a straw for my wife who's got a mask on the entire time.
No lime on top.
This would be funny if Doll just the entire time she's in Mexico, she's got a little straw coming out of her surgical mask.
She wears that for religious reasons.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. She's anti-corona. So there was a story. That's how the big argument started this morning with you guys about people saying it's racist. What was the racist part?
There was a whole thing on the news last night about down in Chinatown. The restaurant business has dropped over the past few days, and they blamed it on underlying racism and what's the other word? Stigmas.
Mm-hmm. Stigmatism.
Racism.
Racist and stigmas and viruses.
Corona.
No,
Corona.
I was discussing with Phil. I thought that was just a little bit of a leap. I mean, everybody's being overly cautious, and they're probably not equipped with the most information. But you're told to use extreme caution. I don't think it's a racist thing. I just think it's a... People are just, you know, overreacting.
Yeah, that's their perception of things. And so some people may find this racist. It's not our job to say you shouldn't think that this is racist, but they do feel that. And then you've got other folks who have a genuine worry that it has something to do with our ethnicity as Chinese people to have this virus, right?
Well, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Well, at whatever time I was in that restaurant last night, like 5:45 until, I don't know, 6:45, it was packed.
Yeah.
There were people of all ethnicities in the restaurant.
You're eating Japanese noodles in a Hong Kong-owned restaurant. It's as international
as you
can
get. And by the way, there were some, what do you call us? Gaigaos? Haigus? What do you call white people?
Ang Ma.
Well, there were some Ang Ma's in the restaurant, and there were some non-Ang Ma's in the restaurant.
Well, I just think if one week the restaurants are full and people aren't racist, they're going, and then the next week, because of a international alarm over this virus, that attendance is down a bit, I just think that's being overly cautious, maybe to a fault, but I'm not sure it's racism. That's all.
Let's get Trudeau at a restaurant
right
now.
That's just such a quick leap nowadays.
That's true.
That's all.
It's an assumption, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was a lively discussion.
I thought it could have been livelier.
Well,
you think?
Here's the thing. At some point, just before I came upstairs, Phil starts yelling stuff about the Jews, and I'm like, all right. You know, no matter what the discussion is, we always find a way to include the Jews.
To be honest, Howard.
I'm out of here.
I'm more sexually frustrated than angry. Because coronavirus has literally affected my flight schedule. I was supposed to spend a night in China on the way home with my wife, right, on an airline stopover, and we were going to do stuff, But we can't now. They've changed our flight.
And that's why you blame the Jews.
What was that city that you were supposed to be for 17 hours?
Shanghai, which is nowhere close to there.
He was getting it on the plane with Pearl and in Shanghai for 17 hours.
They were going to
go crazy. That's been reduced to 5 hours now, so they can't leave the airport.
So as we're sitting at the Burger King at the airport, probably.
So what are you going to do? You're just going to go in the... You know what you should do? You know how they have those washrooms?
Yeah.
Wait, this is good. They have those washrooms that are family, like, you know, where you're supposed to go, like a family washroom where you can change your kid.
What?
You just go in there, lay Pearl down on the changing table, and have at it. Hey, Dan Duran. Oh, hang on a second. Dan Duran, have you ever, in all your sexual adventures, have you ever had, relations on a change table? Like a baby change table in a family washroom?
No, I haven't done that.
Okay.
That's something to look forward to, I guess.
I guess.
What kind of a table have you used? A dining room table? Kitchen table?
I know I have.
You know,
a water table?
There's tables. I'm sure that, Fred, you've used a table or two in your time.
I don't know about that. His back was bugging him for a long time.
An end table.
Yeah. Hey, a TV table. Dan, yes, remember when we were at the movie and that guy said, oh, my gosh, Dan Duran, legend. Remember that guy?
How could I forget?
Well, he just put this up on the Twitters. He said, I just listened to the show and heard you talk about me giving Dan Duran the nickname The Legend. I'm glad I didn't go with my other choice, the Peterborough Hammer. Like, imagine if he had seen you and just went, Hammer! Hammer! Imagine, Dan.
Imagine that.
How'd your stress test go yesterday?
That would have been a socially rude kind of experience then for both of us.
How'd your stress test go yesterday?
Went well. They shaved parts of my chest and put on those dickery things and encouraged me to keep on running. I didn't realize that the cardiologist or whoever ran the stress test, because they look at your heart with an ultrasound kind of device, I guess.
Yeah.
And you lay on a table on your left hand side.
It's an echocardiogram.
There you go.
Yeah.
See, you're way more into it than I am.
Well, I just had one.
But they kind of hold you there. You're kind of like laying on your left-hand side. They kind of hold on to you. It's like a long half-hour hug.
Have you had that done recently, Fred? So an echo is different than an ECG. An ECG is when they hook you up to, you go to your doctor's office. They'll hook you up to a sort of a little machine, and they check your heart graphs. But an echocardiogram is when they take an ultrasound and then do... like an echo of your heart chambers and your... You probably have had it. And then you did the running part, right, Dan?
Yes. And then hop back on the table to, after the workout, they wanted to see what your heart was looking like when it was quite active. It was stressed.
Well, we all know you have a big, beautiful Dan Duran heart. Did they confirm that?
Yeah, they did. I asked them. They said, we'll have to wait for the results. The old the technician doesn't want to reveal anything, but it didn't seem like there was anything amiss.
We all say Dan has a great heart. Don't people say that? You say that, I say that. Dan has a great heart.
Legendary.
Did they confirm that? I bet you they did.
When you were on the treadmill and you had all those diodes and stuff, do they have to take some surgical tape and, make sure you're... your corona doesn't come slapping you in the head while you're running it.
No, I talk about the man's heart. And you have to go there.
I know, because I'm terrible.
Isn't it time for the Dan Duran weather song?
Oh,
Is it time to do some singing?
Poor Dan.
Legend. No doubt about it. Dan Duran is one of the biggest hearted people you'll ever meet. And whatever you do, don't get between him and a shrimp ring. But,
that's a dangerous zone there. All right. Very true. Well, I've been checking the weather out. Checking the weather out in Playa del Carmen, and it looks like there may be a little tiny bit of rain on Saturday. so the rest of us can wallow in your 5 millimeters of rain coming down on Saturday late afternoon. However, the rest of the time looks like you're going to basically it's 29 to 30 degrees for the entire time that you're there. Somewhere in there.
No, and it feels like 33, 34. I said to Howard this morning, I said, maybe that's a bit hot. Maybe that's too hot. As for that rain, you know the way it works, eh, Howie? It rolls in, rolls out. It's actually refreshing sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But thanks for that.
So you're not even there. You're not even there yet, and you're already complaining about it.
Oh, yeah. Hey, listen. It gives the guy joy. Let him. Did you hear Dahl's wearing a mask to the airport?
What?
Yeah, Dahl's going to wear a surgical mask around the entire time.
Oh,
because
it's an airport. Oh, she's bought into the whole the
people are
terror,
dying. Dan.
The
people
horror.
Are dying.
People are dying. Yes. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yep.
So is it like one of those masks with two bulbous things on the left and the right, kind of the big huge germ mask?
I don't know. Yeah, I would imagine she got it off my father-in-law who wears them into the hospital. For whatever
that
reason.
Version.
Yeah, whatever. She's wearing it, and I mean, that's just the truth. Mm. I hope she's not embarrassed if she's listening, which she probably isn't, but that's just the truth.
It is.
Because she's going to be seen in public tomorrow wearing the mask at the airport.
I'm not sure. Though, do those? Can those things do anything?
I don't know. They can make you laugh.
Yeah, I don't think. What he should do without her knowing it, what he should do is draw on the mask, just little Joker face, or maybe write "I'm with stupid" or one of those things,
or "I just tooted."
I just tooted. No, Fred just farted. Just make it fun.
Yeah. Someone call a doctor.
Make it fun for people, Dan. Uh-huh. Make it fun for other people.
You're right. There must be a monetary. There must be some sort of job in that. There might be some way to make some money off this whole thing, right?
How? Where
put
a
little stand at the airport,
right? Yeah,
sell those masks with personalized, like a T-shirt shop, but for masks.
Toronto Maple Leaf mask, or anything like that. Yeah,
yeah, I like it. Raptor
happy
mask,
face.
Happy face.
Yeah,
that's brilliant.
Anyway. Or have one that says, "I'm with infected."
Silenced by the Habs. Like a Habs logo, silenced by the Habs.
So, Dan. Right. Oh, silence of the Habs. Yes. Yes, I get it. Dan, did you actually do any forecasting for the Hamilton people and the Southern Ontario people?
I did not.
Can you
do that
for us?
You know what? It's for the next few days, we're going to see more cloud, though I'm seeing in the Peterborough area here a beautiful sunrise right now. There is a little bit of cloud in the air, but it'll get cloudier as we get into the weekend. And probably on Sunday, there's the biggest chance of flurry activity. Mainly cloudy for the next few days. Probably warmer than seasonal. It's going to get up to plus one, plus two, even plus four or five on Saturday or Sunday and Monday. But pretty warm. Between now and Sunday, though, there could be maybe about 2 centimeters of snow, if that. Just some areas will get a little of snow. Maybe a little lake effect snow in the Hamilton to west of that in the southwest Ontario, seeing a little tiny bit of snow flurry activity, but not lots. And a high pressure zone is kind of hanging out for the next little while. So we're looking for just a little bit of flurry activity and warmer temperatures than normal, except for the overnight tonight. For tonight, it's going to get pretty normal with -8, -7 in that area.
Still the outlook pretty mild, even for Groundhog Day on Sunday, +4 apparently in the GTA and surrounding area. Hopefully, I forget what it is. Whatever he says, I forget whether it's he sees his if he sees his shadow, it's
6 more weeks of winter.
That's right.
Mm.
And then if it's overcast, then early spring. By the way, Dan, I was watching the Weather Network the other day. Why don't you? You're better than most of those guys.
Thank you.
Have you put an application in there yet?
I've given a couple of calls, and as a matter of fact, it's on my list to give them a call back again today. I was recommended by someone to
so
somebody
should.
Over there, and I'm just trying to track it down. I'm working on it.
They could use a Dandaran.
I think you're right.
Mm-hmm. That's quite a list. Get on that list, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Call them back, because that's where you deserve to be. We'd be sad to see you go, but you deserve it, my friend.
Well, maybe he'd get a shift where he could still do this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. As soon as they hire him, the first thing they'll say is, okay, enough of that little nonsense business with Hubu and Fran. Dan Duran Weather brought to you by... Huh?
go ahead.
I didn't say anything.
Anyway, listen, it was great with
I could say something.
All right.
Okay. We have a great trip, Fred.
All right.
Have a good time. Enjoy with Howard yourself. Next week, Dan.
That'll be fun. It'll be very fun.
Dan Duran here on Tuesday, Wednesday. Monday is Larry Fedoric, and Thursday next week will be Peter Cuneo, all of our guest Freds. All right, Dan Duran, brought to you by Dan Duran. Dan Duran, thank you very much.
Right on.
Right on, brother. And, of course, we'll be back. Tony Clement, former second-in-command in this country. Was he not second-in-command at one point?
I think he was vice president of the United States at one point.
Tony Clement,
his lordship,
who was in Obama's White House.
Who was in Downton Abbey.
Sir Tony Clement will join us. We're going to talk about the coronavirus, travel advisories, what governments are doing, all that stuff when we come back. This is the place to be. It's Humble and Fred Radio. And welcome back, everybody. It's great to be with you. This program, the Humble and Fred Show, legendary. Toronto Radio Royalty. That's what you're listening to. That's what we are.
Yeah.
Featuring the legendary Dan Duran, everyone's favorite Phyllis Hong, and Baby Sean Sargent. Tony Clement standing by to talk viruses and what it's like being in the government when something like this happens. It's fascinating. First, let's talk about these fine folks.
Hey, the Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan, chamberplan.ca is where to go to get a free quote for your small business. Yeah, a small business, say 1 to 100 employees. 30,000 Canadian businesses now part of this. Been around 40 years, so it's strength in numbers. I'll tell you, so many great products under the umbrella. Listen, if you go there to get a free quote and read about what you can do for your small business, you'll be amazed. It's health insurance, dental insurance, teledoc, travel insurance, on and on and on. You probably never thought that a small business could be so well covered. Chamberplan.ca.
And congratulations once again to Donna Cornish Clark. And thanks to all the folks that entered our Sticker U contest. Donna won herself 4 tickets to tonight's opening of the Sticker U Permanent Museum opening. Did I get it?
That's right.
Did that? I apologize. I'm trying to work on some stuff here, too. Anyway, it's tonight. Toronto Mike and I will be there. It's going to be a great time from 6 to 10 on Queen Street. We had the nice people yesterday, Dave and Holly Combs from Indianapolis, talking about some of the history of stickers and all that stuff. So if you'd like to join us, we'd love to have you. StickerU.com, you can order stickers from Toronto and have them shipped anywhere in the world. StickerU.com, and once again, congratulations and thanks for listening, Donna Cornish Clark. And now, thanks, as always, a pleasure to be joined by the former Vice President of the United States of America, who, in the Obama White House, he was there with boots on the ground. I don't know. he was at one time the number two man in this country, Tony Clark Clements. Clements.
Hey, how's that for an intro, Tony?
I've never had it quite so good.
Tony's like, I don't know why I agreed to do this now.
I was once introduced as Tony Bennett. That was pretty good.
I feel bad for you, Tony, because our relationship has devolved, and now you're just another dude on our show. But you're really somebody. Now, give the audience some perspective. At the time of the SARS breakout, it was the year
2003.
And you were doing what with whom?
I was Ontario Health Minister at the time. And, of course, the SARS outbreak was particular to Ontario, not throughout the country. So I was the one working with all of our wonderful public health officials and frontline docs and nurses and so on to contain the virus, which ultimately killed 44 Ontarians. and infected over 400. So it was a big deal, of course, and a tragic loss of life.
What is how quickly do you discuss how to handle overreaction and hysteria?
Yeah, so this is the you know, you're on the razor's edge on a lot of this stuff, and I'm sure the current health minister is going through the same thing. Like you want to project calm, but at the same time, you know, if you say too often, this is low risk, this is low risk, this is low risk, and then it becomes high risk, you know, you pay a price for that. And this isn't about politics. I'm not saying it is, but ultimately, you know, you're accountable. And so you can't be seen as underplaying what's going on, because it is a serious issue. And of course, China is in chaos right now. They've got over 7,700 cases and over 170 fatalities now. So you want to get across that this isn't China. Canada has a great healthcare system for, you know, that can tackle these kinds of outbreaks. But at the same time, there are a lot of unknown factors for this coronavirus, just as there was during SARS.
You know, Tony, you say you have to walk a fine line between, you know, overreacting and underreacting, because there will be political collateral. As you say, it's not a political issue, but depending on how a government acts, they will be judged on their reaction. Mm-hmm. But taking politics out of it, you know, it's people who are experts in pandemics talk about not a matter of if, they talk about when, and that that you really should, we should always be on alert, because these things are always in the wind. What about what did you tell people then, and what would you tell people if you were the Minister of Health now?
Well, I remember being advised at the time when SARS was just breaking, when we had this unknown disease. We didn't even call it SARS. It was so early on in the process, but we knew we had a very virulent virus that was killing people in hospitals. And I remember some of the advice was, you know, just, you know, you should tell people that there's nothing to worry about. And I remember saying, I'm not going to tell people there's nothing to worry about. There is something to worry about here, you know. So I was very, very careful never to say there was nothing to worry about, because when the media asked me, are you concerned? I said, yeah, I'm concerned. This is something that's big, and we're going to fight like hell to contain it. And we've got great people on the ground, but I'm not going to tell you I'm not concerned. And I think that was the right thing to say at the time. So, you know, here for coronavirus, again, we've only had three cases. That's the good news. The bad news is there's a debate over how this thing is being transmitted, whether it can be transmitted human to human without somebody being from Wuhan doing the transmission. There may be a couple of cases in Germany like that. And you still don't know the virulence of it. Initial reports say it had a 10% fatality rate. So if you contracted it, you had a 10% chance of dying from it. Now, that's, you know, if a million people contract it, that's a lot of people dying. So there's a lot of things that we don't know yet. But I think overall, I'll be honest with you, I think that the public health agencies here in Canada and the political leadership is playing it basically the right way.
Okay.
And you know, to get back to politics, here's the problem for a politician. You come out and you say, I'm not concerned, or tell people to relax. One person dies, and then that's used against you.
Exactly.
Right down
the
line.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. Like, however you act during this crisis, you will be judged after, yeah, unfortunately, for political gain or loss.
So you would, you just simply have to play that game.
So
yeah, and I used to say, I hope for the best, but I'm planning for the worst.
For sure.
That's the way.
You know, but there's so many aspects of it. We were talking about the fact that some people are staying away from Chinatown. I happened to be at Spadina in college last night, seemed it business as usual. But you can kind of understand, and it has nothing to do with race or ethnicity, but you can understand if you were hearing what you said, statistically, it's a very, you know, virulent disease, and you can sort of see people wanting to stay away from where there might be people gathering who have had exposure. Again, maybe not without cause, but still there's an effect to it.
Well, because the government, the powers that be, say exercise extreme caution, and if that means avoiding certain areas that are more susceptible, that's what you do.
Yeah, well, in 2003, you could have shot a cannon through Chinatown. You wouldn't hit anybody. It was a ghost town. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, people see all the images from Wuhan and Shanghai. You know, there's nobody on the streets there. So people take their cues and signals.
Can I ask you, if you don't mind, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I started watching this thing last night, Pandemic, on Netflix, and it was basically focused on the woman in New York City who is the director, whatever that's called. You know, there's a name for it, the officer of health. It would be
the public health officer.
Yeah,
would be
the medical officer.
Yeah, medical officer, that's right. And she's in charge of coordinating response in New York. Now, this series was obviously done before this outbreak. What do we have in Canada, more particularly Toronto? How are we prepared for this?
Yeah, so after SARS, I realized that there was no real coordination amongst the various public health agencies and the levels of government, and there was breakdowns in communication, and it was quite chaotic, and nothing had been built up to tackle this. So one of the things I did when I was federal health minister after SARS, by 2006 I was federal health minister, was ensure that we had a national pandemic plan, which included, you know, the how you deal with it diagnostically, and you know, how do you do the research and how do you share the research, but it was also how do you coordinate the various levels of government. So we do have that in place now. So Toronto Public Health is constantly talking to Ontario Public Health, which is constantly talking to the Public Health Agency of Canada. So that's an improvement from 2003 for sure.
Let me throw this by you. Markham, that York region, that area of York region, has a large Asian population. A couple of private schools in that area have recommended that any students or families that have been in that area of China, anybody related to them, stay away from the school for 15 days. Is that overreaction? Is that rational? Is that racist?
From your perspective. You know, I mean, if they have evidence that somebody's been to Wuhan recently, you know, sure. And the incubation period for the virus is 14 days. So that length of time makes sense. During SARS, there were schools that closed down. There was some transmission of the virus from high school students. I remember we quarantined 10,000 people in 2003. 10,000 people, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And, you know, you send them home and then you do check-ins. Public health people would check in various points of the day. But human nature kicks in, right? So you send these high school students home and, you know, say you got to quarantine. And then the next thing you know, they're at the mall, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, next thing you know, they're down at the old pinball arcade. Hey, Tony, you know, back when we were kids.
Hey,
Tony.
I play Spider-Man pinball all the time.
Here's the thing about being in your position, Minister of Health, Ontario and Canada, because when this thing broke a couple of weeks ago, we started talking about it on the show. And then, of course, you're trying not to be to overstimulate people by telling them that, you know, in North America, 80,000 people die every year just from the regular flu.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So on the one hand, you know, as tragic as SARS was and those 40 people, those deaths aren't to be minimalized. But against the bigger picture of the regular flu, you know, I guess I'm asking, when do we panic? Is there a point when you start to go, okay, well, this is now beyond just a blip?
I'm going to be honest with you. I know people have used that marker saying, well, X number of people die of flu every year. I don't think with the general public, they're going to look at that and say, you know, that is not the point. The point is we don't know enough about this current virus to know how lethal it's going to be. And Theresa Tam, who's the head of the Public Health Agency of Canada, a doctor, she said that we likely won't have a vaccine for the coronavirus for another year. So if you don't like the flu, you can get the flu shot. Most people do if they don't want to get the flu. But here, there's no vaccine. So, you know, it's a little bit apples and oranges. And I think you potentially are treating people like fools when you say, well, don't worry about it because people die of the flu. It's like saying, well, don't worry about it. There's more car crashes. You know, it's not relevant.
No, for sure.
No,
you're right. It's apples.
Good to hear you say that. Tomorrow, I'm going to the airport with my wife. We're flying south, and she plans on wearing a surgical mask. Do you endorse that, Tony?
Yeah, I mean, I think you should do whatever you feel. Like, I remember in 2003, it was so atypical to wear a surgical mask, and people really stood out. I was in Toronto yesterday. I had meetings, different parts, so I was walking a lot, and I saw a dozen people with masks on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's I think it's more seen and acceptable today than it was in 03.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, see, she's smarter than I am.
Fred's going to wear a ski mask.
Yeah. I like the snorkel. That's
right. That's right. Mask
you won't
snorkel.
Stand out.
Yeah, then I
you
yeah,
should.
That's good.
No, that would be funny.
Then I can use it when I'm down there.
You should wear a goggles and a snorkel next to Doll. That would be the best thing.
That would be funny.
Make sure you do the selfie on it, too.
Oh, you know, he selfies. Oh, he'll selfie you, right? Tony, we appreciate your expertise, and what a resource for us to have the former Minister of Health for the country with some great perspective. And we will check in with you again. I hope we appreciate it, and thanks very much.
For sure.
Whenever it looks like the world might be falling apart, we're going to call Tony.
Right.
Mm-hmm. 2020 is a great year so far, guys.
Oh, yes, yeah. It is. Tony, thank you very much. Tony Clement, everybody.
Woo!
Look at that man. See you later, sir.
Thanks, Tom.
There's Tony. That's right. We just have him on the show. Who did you have on the show today? Well, the former Minister of Health.
And you know, Howard.
Howard.
Just to be fair, to play the other side, to appreciate the fallout from these things, Phil told me a story downstairs about what happened to him during the SARS. When you went back to school. Tell that story.
I didn't even leave the country. I didn't leave the province. I didn't leave the city. And so my family happened to be vacationing in China as SARS was developing. And so when they came back to Toronto, we were told by, I think it was Mr. Clement, in fact, to stay in our house for 20 days. Mm-hmm. And so after I came home, first day of school, after we were home, I went to school. First day of school, I sit at my desk and all my classmates moved their desks away from me.
Wow.
So there has been stigma in a certain way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man.
Well, no, I know that. And that's hard.
I had no contact with
anything.
If I
may, Phil,
yeah.
You just described my entire childhood.
Oh.
All right.
No, but it's, you know, on that level, you got to think, those things do happen. And a kid your age, how do you deal with that? Other than feeling rejected.
It's terrible.
Jen had diarrhea. That's all we got.
I didn't like it.
Oh, okay. During the quarantine. Yeah.
It's always something.
We had to go right to the poop.
Right.
She was 3 years old.
We couldn't do a nice segment without Phil coming down with diarrhea.
But she did.
Sean Sargent's here. He's from Georgetown. And what's the Georgetown response? What are you guys doing? You going to the bar every afternoon at 4. And
yeah, I got to meet my dad.
And what they do is they go to the bar and then they take beer napkins, tie them around their face.
Every road that enters Georgetown, they've cut down big logs and put them across the road, and they're standing there with shotguns.
That's right.
Controlling who comes in and who comes out, right?
Go to the bar. That's the only way.
Yeah, I feel like everyone in Georgetown is like those two people from Ozark, you know?
Yeah.
The what do they call it? They were great, by the way. Those two, the couple. And then she kills him at the end.
Yeah.
Those people.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
You know, no idea what you're talking about.
Yes, you do. They were the hillbillies.
I can't remember.
Ozark.
Yeah.
They were the ones that.
The right. They had all the money.
They had all the money, and they owned the land, and then she poisoned him at the end because she was crazy.
Yeah.
Those two.
Yeah.
That's Georgetown.
Okay.
All right.
Exactly.
All right.
This is why.
That and the Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah.
Future predictions going on here.
Well, anyway. Well, you know what? It was pretty. I didn't. You know, I'd forgotten that Tony was the Ontario Minister of Health.
Oh, yes.
And the country's Minister of Health. And now he's on our show. We're telling everyone he's the Vice President of the States.
It's kind of both.
Listen, if it comes to it, I'm going to walk around in a mask. I'm going to the airport a week from Sunday. We're flying out, me and Rach, GFR, mm-hmm. And I'm going to run it by her. She'll probably know where to get some cool hipster masks we can wear.
Well,
I'll get mine with a little goatee.
When this first broke out, I heard a conversation with someone going, oh, geez, if you're going to go to the airport, you know, it's one of the worst places. An airplane's one of the worst places to pick up a virus. And then I heard another report after that saying that the constant transfer of air or something in an airplane actually makes it a better place to be. What would your position be on that?
I think in general, the air inside of that tube is dry. Mm-hmm. And I think you're exposed to a lot of the air. You're sharing it with the people on the plane at that time. But I think in general, because it's, you know, I don't think it lingers. I was going to ask you this, Phil.
Yes.
Like, how is this disease being transferred? Because it's, is it airborne or direct contact?
So they're working on a definite response to this. But for some folks, it's you have to be with a sick patient to receive that yourself.
So unless you're on an airplane that has a sick patient with this virus... Mm-hmm.
Which what are the chances?
Yeah, exactly.
Although you never know.
You never know, but you'd have to have direct contact with that person.
Like something like a 2 meter radius, according to the government the other day. They were talking about that flight with our first and second cases of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And so they're saying, well, anyone who sat 2 meters from this guy, here's the seat map, you're going to have to call us.
But you know how sometimes you get off an airplane, you kind of feel sick anyway?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you do, you sort of... You know, the air is dry and your sinuses are...
All I need is the air that I breathe.
All right.
Okay, do you remember that song?
Yeah, of course.
Always.
Hi. Hi, who's this?
Hey, it's Rick.
Hey, Rick, what's going on?
Long time listener. So, for your plane trips, gentlemen, the recirculated air on a plane is about 5% fresh air.
That's it?
Well, it used to be about 15, and then I was on a plane with a lady going down to Washington, D.C., because she was going to fight to keep it at 15, but the airlines wanted to drop it to 5. So then there's HEPA filters there that take out, you know, airborne contaminants. So the air is going to be cleaned, but, you know, if precaution's sake, I think Fred, your wife, is on the right track.
Oh, yeah, I said she's smarter than I am. I know that.
You know, they don't start, you know, Rick, in an airplane, they don't start, you don't need to have air, what's the word I'm looking for, Phil? They don't turn on the
pressurize. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's a pressurized cabin, but until 12,500, above 12,500, you start to need auxiliary oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
So they're pumping that thing through. Almost immediately, as soon as they take off, the pressurization starts so that you always feel like you're at 10,000 feet.
Mm-hmm. So helicopters are never pressurized then?
Not never. I would assume this would be a good question for Dave. I think helicopters that fly above 15,000 feet would have some pressurization. They'd have to.
But Kobe's wouldn't.
No.
They weren't that
high.
A helicopter like that. Would it have the capability to pressurize?
I'll let you get back.
Sorry, Rick. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, Rick.
Rick's like, all right, guys, buddy. I have a real job. Thanks, Rick. Rick's like, sorry. Kobe's, you know, I don't know. Like, the little plane that Dave and I owned, when we flew it higher than, to the point you need oxygen, we had little oxygen tanks, and we had little nose canolas, they're called. Like, you know, in the hospital, those little things to augment your breathing.
Mm-hmm. Like those people who stand in front of a hospital smoking cigarettes with that.
Exactly.
With like oxygen in their nose. Yeah.
Exactly what it was. Uh-huh.
Those people.
Anyway, listen, maybe Dahl's got it right.
Yeah?
Maybe Dahl's got it right.
You know what? In the end, Dahl's always got it right. I've learned to appreciate that.
You know what she was most right about? You.
Marrying me?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Thank you, Howard.
Yeah, it was the best thing she ever did.
Oh.
That's all it? I have to say. Yep.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Seriously, she's a very lucky
That's
woman.
That's very sweet.
She's a very lucky woman. And we're all lucky that, you know, that she hasn't killed you. See, I should have just left it.
Oh.
I should have just left it, Phil.
Oh, hi.
Why can't I? I wonder my kid doesn't want to eat with me. Anyway, listen, we got to take a break. And we're going to have a beautiful performance coming up, Phil.
That's right.
Okay. You know, we should get Dahl on the phone, see what she's all about with this mask.
Yeah. I wonder if she would.
I'd love to talk to her. We'll come back here in a second, live on Canada's Comedy Superstation, Funny 820, and, of course, around the world at humbleandfredradio.com. We'll be right back.
is humbleandfredradio.com. Hey, do you have a second there? You can talk about the Sherpa for me. Let's get that going. Yeah, Sherpa's in yesterday. How about we're going to talk to Jaden Lamb and her dada in a second? But how about the Sherpa singing on the show yesterday? And I was so impressed because you know sometimes you ask people who can sing, they don't want to sing, and it's the whole I won't do it. But he sang right away.
Yes, he did. He's a good boy. Not only is he a singer, though, Howard, Tim is a portfolio manager, and Raymond James is a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. And yesterday on the show, another interesting segment of the Sherpa, looking ahead to 2020, about investing, how to look at your life, what you want out of it, what you expect out of it, and acting accordingly and getting the right guidance along the way. Guidance?
Guidance.
Being a guy that can look after your money like the Retirement Sherpa. RetirementSherpa.ca is where to get a hold of them, like many, many Humble and Fred listeners have. It's been a great relationship.
Not your typical Airbnb turnkey vacation rentals and their exceptional home that our friend Jason from California has graciously allowed us to promote. Go to humbleandfredradio.com, click on the link, and enter promo code OWNER15 for this beautiful La Quinta, California property. Anyway, it's Turnkey Vacation Rentals, four-time winners of Travel Weekly's Magellan Award for Vacation Rental Hospitality. Turnkey makes sure the home is clean and guest ready when you arrive. Available 24/7. Answer questions. TurnkeyVacationsRental.com. Did I say Turnkey? Turnkey. All right, welcome to our program. A singer-songwriter, and so far, very nice person. It seems. Say hello to Jaden Lamb. Jaden Lamb's
hello.
Here, everybody.
Hello. Jaden. Good morning, Canada.
Yes, and Pop's here, Gary.
Yes, my lovely dad.
How are you, sir?
I'm good. Good.
Listen, well, look what we do for our kids.
I know.
Just look what we do.
I know.
We drove ages from Pickering to get here.
You're from Pickering?
Yes. Go Shawn Mendes. Woo!
Okay. Did you hear about the plant? There was trouble on the plant a couple weeks ago.
I was woken up by that. It very much scared me.
That's right.
Now,
did you take your iodine pills? Do you have them in your house?
I think there is some in a drawer somewhere.
Well, that's probably a good idea.
Of course, like most people be like, I can't find any iodine. Should we use some rubbing alcohol? Jaden, it's great to have you here. You're doing the singing?
I am. I do the singing, yes.
And you have a... Why do you have a pet with you? You have like a little...
Oh, this is Lamb Chop. She's my pet animal. I bring her with me.
She's your, like, a service animal almost?
Yes,
like
that's what everyone says. She comes with me on stage. She comes with me to all my shows and interviews. I have her with me always.
How long have you had this thing? Aren't you a bit old for that?
Pretty much my whole life. I've had this in my bed forever.
Mm-hmm. That's just come back.
Yes,
that's made a new appearance again.
Yes, I've liked to add her in recently.
So you've been according to this information, you embody moody electronic pop with a style similar to Lorde and Kate Bush. We like both of those. Yeah. And Gary, are you a musician or just Jaden's papa?
I play a little bit. She told me this was coming up and there was a chance to play it. Want to play live? So
well, what are we gonna? What can you play? What will we hear you sing live on our program right now?
We're going to be performing an acoustic rendition of my latest single, "Bad Sign."
And where do people find your music?
You can find me on Spotify and Apple Music and YouTube Music, Deezer, everything.
Wow. So where is your music produced? In your home? Like you young artists like you have to be really inspired. Like Billie Eilish, is that?
Oh yes,
yeah. You know who produce this stuff in their home and throw it out themselves and become world superstars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I make the most of my music in my room or in my basement. I've collaborated with artists before and they make it in their rooms or their basements.
Yeah. Well, when Mr. Patterson and I first started out, you had to get a record deal to go into a big fancy studio somewhere and there was no guarantee anyone was ever going to put that music out. And then
they ripped you off.
Well, yeah, they ripped you off. Yeah. Then you
took all your money.
And then you ended up down and out.
Yeah.
And hooked on drugs, obviously. And anyway, but now, sorry
different.
About that. It's different because you can just bypass all that, right?
Yes, it's lovely.
All right. Well, listen, we're excited to have you and your dad. Is your last name, are you Lamb or is that the stick?
Yes, our real
Both
last
lambs.
Name.
How long have you lived
Three
here, Gary?
Here. I came here in about 1990. Yeah. something
right
like
at the start of the Humble and Fred revolution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. That's why I came to Canada, basically.
Well, that's what a lot of people... I don't know if you heard, but we're Toronto radio royalty.
Yes. I heard... We were listening to you on the way in.
Oh, were you?
Yeah
it's pretty sad, right?
Sad.
We're just two sad old guys who like to make poopy jokes.
Although, I don't know if we should talk royalty to Scottish people. You know, not really that big on it.
Sorry about that, Gary.
Okay.
All right. Let's get your guitar. Let's get those other microphones now. Let's do the other mics now that we have the handheld. So he's five on the guitar.
Yep.
Beautiful. Let me hear the guitar. You don't need those headphones anymore, Gary. Just let me hear the guitar. And Jaden Lamb, let's hear your microphone.
My name is Jaden Lamb. Woo, 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 woo.
Okay. Sure.
Why not?
Woo, 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 woo.
You know what? You are sickly sweet.
You are.
You yeah,
really
that's
are.
Right.
All right. Gary, let's hear a little. Everyone, with an acoustic version of her new single, Bad Sign. Here's Jaden Lamb. Mama.
Thank you very much.
All right. Go.
I know it's no surprise. It put me out, but you keep asking me back like you just can't decide. And then I see what I don't like, looking like you got a few sides. You're showing me all the bad signs. You tell me that you want me, tell me that you need me. Every time you call me, you just wanna repeat. Keep me at your subtweet, tagging all your selfies. Every time you add me, I just get more angry. Showing me all the bad signs. Showing me all the bad signs. Showing me all the bad signs. I'm done and don't have the drive in me. I know it's no surprise. You let me down, but you keep hitting me up. Why can't you just decide? And then I see what I don't like, looking like you got a few sides. You're showing me all the bad signs. You're showing me all the bad signs. And then we're deep in a new fight, looking like it's going all night. You're showing me all the bad signs. You tell me that you want me, tell me that you need me. Every time you call me, you just wanna repeat. Keep me at your subtweet, tagging all your selfies. Every time you add me, I just get more angry. Showing me all the bad signs. Showing me all the bad signs. Ooh, showing me all the bad signs. You tell me that you want me, tell me that you need me. Every time you call me, you just wanna repeat. Keep me at your subtweet, tagging all your selfies. Every time you add me, I just get more angry. Showing me all the bad signs. Oh, showing me all the bad signs. Showing me all the bad signs. Showing me all the bad signs.
Amazing. Very nice, Jaden. Look at you.
Oh, thank you
very much.
So, thank you for listening.
Well, it's our pleasure, Jaden. Thanks for coming in. Gary, thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. Fantastic.
That's it. Remember we said there was going to be that moment where we say thank you? That's the moment. Thank you very much, Jaden Lamb.
Bye.
Go check her out on all the social medias and all that stuff. Great to have you here in our studio. Let me turn those off. Sean, let's get some pictures and such. Thanks, Jaden. There you go.
Thanks, guys. Good to see you.
Very nice. See, that's how it's done, everybody. That's what people do with talent do. That's what it's like. I know it's a long way to drive just for that, but now we got to go back to doing this other nonsense that we do.
Guys from Pickering. All right. You know, I mentioned that bit about KFC the other day about us sort of doing that joke about how, all the fast food places and they're beyond meat. And my joke was, well, if not KFC, they're like, no, we're fine over here just dipping things in grease and stuff. But apparently that's not true. Now KFC's got it.
Yeah, in the South, too. The deep South of the United States where, you know, fried chicken is like, isn't that their national dish?
Yeah.
And they're going to play the Beyond Meat game down there? I guess they figure if it'll fly there, it'll fly anywhere.
So that was one story. Yeah. Someone else, actually, I want to thank Neil Parmenter. Sorry, Humble, I'm a big fan, but I thought you should know. And he sent us that story about the Southern chicken. But according to BlogTO, KFC is also testing vegan chicken in Canada. They're jumping on the fast food bandwagon, according to this story, with whatever that thing. Apparently, they've sold out in the South. People love it.
Well, they always try, right?
Yeah.
Like, even when KFC, remember it came out with that chicken sandwich where the bread was chicken? Remember that?
Yes.
There was two pieces of battered chicken with a piece of grilled chicken in between?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that went crazy at the beginning, and then it was gone before you knew it, because once people tried it, they were done with it.
So this story is from November. Apparently, they tried it in one location in Mississauga for literally from 10:30 on November 27th, from 10:30 in the morning until 11 at night. They tried it, and I don't know what's happened to it. Maybe that maybe it was just a test.
And the other story now is Tim Hortons is dumping all their Beyond Meat stuff. They're not...
What was the reason for that? Just not enough
sales.
Yeah,
sales. The product didn't move enough, so they're dumping it because they had a Beyond Meat burger, I think, and what else? I don't know.
Well, let me ask you this. It kind of makes sense.
Sandwich.
Like the joke I was trying to workshop with you about how KFC, you know, they're not going to go there. I don't know why. I shouldn't say that. I can see why it wasn't working at Tim Hortons, because that's not why you're going to Tim Hortons.
Right. No.
That's not why I go to Burger King or name someplace. You know, I'm not going there for it's not a healthy alternative I'm looking for.
Right.
I'm looking for an unhealthy alternative.
Mm-hmm.
That's true, though.
Yeah.
You know, like if I'm going to, hey, let's go get a burger.
Yeah, but see, that's a bit of a fallacy, too, because the Beyond Meat stuff is not healthy. What it is, it's to not eat, to save the planet, and not eat animals.
Right.
Well, but we had this discussion a little bit, too. I mean, if you look at the preservatives in their meat, if you read the ingredients and the things that it wouldn't, none of it's that healthy for
them.
No,
I know, but I'm saying if you go to a gourmet burger place where it's 100% beef,
yes,
that's healthier than a Beyond Meat burger.
And that's kind of what I'm getting at. Like, if you want a healthy alternative, you would go to a place. You're not going to choose McDonald's or, you know, Tim Hortons.
No.
Right. You wouldn't go to McDonald's for pizza. They tried, but it didn't work out.
But I tried it. Mm-hmm. I went to Tim Hortons. I had the Beyond Meat, you know, sausage thing for breakfast one day. It was fine.
Can I give you a case study?
Yeah, please.
Dahl and I would never go to A&W. I might for some reason, but never with her.
Mm-hmm.
That's the last thing she wants.
Mm.
I found myself in an A&W a month or so ago because she wanted to go there and try the Beyond Meat burger because she heard it was good.
Mm.
So there's an example of we would never, ever go there, but because of that product, all of a sudden, there I am sitting in an A&W. So it's got to work on some level.
Absolutely it does. In fact, it's A&W was the first... I at least the first I'd seen.
I believe it's the first with this product. Yes.
Well, and they were a couple years into this
because there were veggie burgers before, but they weren't made like this.
No, I understand, and that's why I told you guys. I can't remember if it was Harvey's or Burger King, but they had a nice veggie burger when I went through my veggie period.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking this isn't bad. I haven't had the A&W one, but I did notice that they were promoting this Beyond Meat product long before anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
What's coming now, though, and I saw this on my news thing, Flipboard. You know, there's a product that they're in development that is very, very good for you, but plant-based. But the mouthfeel is very, very much like meat.
Familiar.
And I'm not sure if this is it, but it's not as, not as many preservatives as this stuff.
Yeah, I when I was talking about this with some people not too long ago, like yesterday, I Googled Beyond Meat and the ingredients or the additives and the chemicals in it. And there was some quotes from doctors, nutritionists, dietitians, who said it's basic. What it is, people know it's processed meat. It's like processed meat.
Oh, yes.
So it's no different than going and getting deli meat, which isn't good for you either.
It's because of the nitrates.
Yeah.
It's because of what they have to do to it to make you your brain think it tastes like meat.
Yeah.
There's a lot of salt in it.
Plus, another thing, Delise loved the A&W Beyond Meat burger.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the hospital one day, I bought my mother-in-law, Tim Hortons Beyond Meat. They actually had a burger, believe it or not.
They do, yes. That's why they're taking it out.
And she said, Freddie, I didn't care for it.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's part of it, too. The product that Tim Hortons was peddling, maybe it just wasn't that good.
Maybe the flavor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe that's why they've dumped it.
Yeah. I don't know. Has McDonald's got something?
They're working on it. They're working on it.
That's, other than getting a coffee at McDonald's, I have not eaten McDonald's food for a long time. But I would just check it out. If it was a Beyond Meat Big Mac, I might try it.
To be honest, you know, at the risk of losing a huge McDonald's campaign for the show, when I've taken the kids there, I always get the wrap.
Yeah.
But even after I eat their wraps, I still have a little bit of that McDonald's nausea. You know, like, what was that? I'm just being honest. You know, like, you go to a place like Osmoth or, I don't know, some of those other places and get a wrap and it tastes good.
Yeah.
Like, it tastes like homemade or you've, you know, you don't have that fast food feel. Hey, I still get that from a McDonald's wrap.
Are Jane and her dad still here, Sean? Mm-hmm. We should present them with the, find out what they want, veggie or lasagna, and let's give them a nice, really happy. I will give them a meat one. Tell Jaden to come back up here in a second. We'll give her the lasagna presentation.
I'm sorry, did I say no to a coffee?
Yes,
it's fine. Yes, master.
What did he say?
Yes, master.
I like that.
Hey, we're...
I know, Phil. I'm
we
sorry.
We are Toronto Radio Royalty.
Yes.
Tell people. God damn it.
Jaden, just come on over and grab a microphone. Just one. Just Jaden here.
Yeah. Jaden.
Yes.
Where are you? Is that mic 5 or 6? There's Jaden.
Hello.
So what we have for you is a presentation, and we do this for all our special, special guests. And do you eat? Do you like lasagna?
I do. Yes.
With meat?
No, I don't eat meat.
Gary, do you eat meat? Well, this is for Daddy then.
For Daddy.
This is
going to
be for Dad. Of course, you don't eat meat. You're 22.
Yeah.
This is from our friends at Palma's Pasta. Palma's Kitchen.
Oh my goodness, Palma's Pasta.
Look at that. There you go, Gary.
Wow.
You can order online, skip the dishes, or go to Palma's Pasta. PalmaPasta.com. There you go.
There you go, Gary. That'll keep you going all weekend, brother.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jaden, and thanks for bringing a little bit of sunshine into our studio today. Take the water, hold that up.
That's very
sweet. And do you have
other
kids, Gary?
Yes.
Older or younger?
Younger.
Yeah.
She's 4 years younger than Jaden.
Oh, nice.
Another fucking coming
artist.
Well, we appreciate you guys coming in. Safe travels, Jaden. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much for the lasagna.
You're so welcome. There you go.
See you later.
It's like a paying gig. We pay people in lasagna here. I saw this thing on the internet this morning. I thought you'd find it funny. It says, sad news from Minnesota. The Pillsbury Doughboy died of a yeast infection and trauma complications from repeatedly being poked in the belly. He was 75. Doughboy was buried in a lightly greased coffin. He's survived by his wife, Play-Doh, 3 children, John Doe, Jane Doe, and Dosey Doe. Plus, they had one in the oven. He's also survived by his elderly father, Pop-Tart. The funeral was held at 3:50 for about 20 minutes. That type of thing. Well, you'd like that.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's real good.
And, Doughboy rose quickly in show business, but his later life was filled with turnovers, friend.
See, Phil?
Mm-hmm.
You like that stuff.
He was Danish.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking to Gary. You mentioned royalty. Gary from Scotland mentioned the whole royalty thing. Have you seen this what's going on with Megan's old man, Thomas Markle.
He's the best. He's crazy.
Now he's calling Harry a candy ass.
Oh, yeah.
And he wants to, like, kick his ass.
He wants to fight him.
Yeah.
You know, Harry went to war. You know.
Well, not like actual war with weapons.
Does that. Yeah, went to actual war.
You know, they've been estranged for some time, and then I see the guy on television last night, and I'm thinking, that now I can see why. The guy is like, he's crazy. Anyway, he's blaming Harry for all this estrangement from the royal family, which he thinks is ridiculous. And he said, yeah, he's a candy ass. I'd like to kick his ass, and I would challenge him to a duel.
Jeez.
And that's, you know, great. And you keep waiting for the smirk on his face, and you never see it. And he's like 75, and he just sits there in a chair, and he grunts all this stuff out. Like, it's really weird.
Would you like to hear him talk?
Yeah.
All right, here you go. Here's Meghan Markle's
and
Harry, dad.
And what, separating from the royals?
Look at that.
I think it, well, I've already said it's disappointing to me, and it's disappointing because she actually got every girl's dream. Every young girl wanted to become a princess, and she got that. And now she's tossing that away for...
You know, the thing is, he's just some old guy. No one should ever have asked him anything.
Right.
You know, just... He's not to do this. This is not what he's doing.
But isn't that interesting? He's speaking for, that's every girl's dream. Yeah. Well, obviously not hers. You know, your daughter, the kid, your kid.
That's,
you know,
right.
You're supposed to want your kid to be happy. You know that?
What is their story? He's had nothing to do with her for a long time, or
yeah, there was some. I guess he and the mother divorced, and you know, and she was sided with the mother or lived with the mother, and every so often he pops up and gives us 2 cents worth. But that's what it's like.
He complains he's not invited to anything.
Shabby. They're turning it into a Walmart with a crown on it now. It's
like,
not.
What does anyone care what this guy has to say?
He said they're turning it into a Walmart with a crown. What is that?
This is somebody from like an actual news outlet,
right?
Talking to this man about his daughter destroying.
It's something that's ridiculous. They shouldn't be doing this. I can't see her reaching out to me, especially now.
Yeah, especially now.
Yeah, did he go to the wedding, or he didn't go?
No,
to the wedding.
No, he was sick. He said he was sick.
Which is a great excuse for not going to someplace.
That's right. I don't know if he even received an invitation.
No, they had an animosity over that. Yeah.
Oh, so arguing. Then he said he was sick.
Right.
You can't not invite me. I was sick.
And then Megan's sister defended her father. It's like, oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Holy moly!
Where are they currently in our country?
Probably Vancouver Island.
So. All right. Yes. Are we paying for that?
Not likely.
That's died down, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Which scares me a bit.
Mm-hmm.
What does?
Well, it's died down, and I didn't hear a definitive answer, no, we're not paying.
Yeah. They're still working on it, yeah.
Well,
so the English government and our government are working on who's paying for what.
Somebody's paying for something, and it shouldn't be us.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you, they better not have brought any viruses with them.
Yeah.
And get the Megan virus.
Oh, that blue blood, eh? The royal stuff.
What if we get... What
that inbred stuff.
Right. All that inbred royal virus that none of us could withstand because of the non-inbreeding.
The coronavirus.
Yeah, there you go. Phil did it. The coronavirus. Oh, Phil, you're on fire.
Don't get infected.
Write it down, Phil. Write it down.
Phil just called Fred Master. All right, we got to take a quick break here. We'll come back. We got lots more to go. This is Fred's last show for a month. No, don't say
it. I said that. I said this is Fred's last show.
I can't do your... You're so edgy. You're so edgy. You and your edgy comedy. I'm going to be at Burlington Yuck Yucks tomorrow night. Just dropping in, doing a quick set if you've, you happen to be there. I'm not sure. When I come back, I'll tell you who's headlining. There you go. It's Humble and Fred Radio and humbleandfredradio.com. This is great. Fred's negotiating with Dahl.
You don't have to.
to come on and talk about wearing a surgical mask to the airport. I just wonder how this is going to go. It's a Humble and Fred Radio. Remember us? We used to be on the radio. Isn't it weird? Like,
oh yeah, she's
a... Oh, has she? Radio's so weird. Here we are doing it. We've been on the radio a long time. But I'll tell you what, in all the years we've been doing this show, it's a rare, rare opportunity when Delise Patterson agrees to come on the program, as we're all trying our best to make sure this virus doesn't spread. Delise Patterson, how are you this morning?
I'm good, Howard. How are you?
Fantastic. Oh, and Rachel just came down from the residence.
Oh.
And so everyone's here. Rachel, Dahl's going to wear a mask to the airport tomorrow.
A surgical mask.
And, Dolly, what are your reasons?
Well, because I don't want to take any chances of catching this virus that's going around. I'm going on vacation. I don't want to be sick.
No, that's a very good point.
Well, that's what I, you know, and you obviously, Dahl, you haven't been listening, but I said you're smarter than me. You're more rational than I.
Well, hold on a second. When we were speaking to Danny, our son, last night, who travels a lot, he's traveling to London this weekend.
Yes, England.
He said he has gone out and got a mask and suggested that we do.
Well, see, he's smarter than I am, too.
There you go. Yeah,
the thing is with you, Dahl, though.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, Fred, you're a very smart woman. I said one of the smartest things you ever did was hang on to the Fred man. I mean, I say that from the heart.
Yeah, and there was no punchline.
There was. He's beautiful as Fred. But here's what I would say.
Yes, Howard.
You've been with Fred. I mean, we're going back to the old days of the van and the mattress. Where you've been,
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, you go back with Fred a long time.
I don't come on.
This is why.
Bring that stuff
no, but wait, Dahl, I think if anyone had built up an immunity to any virus,
it would be me.
You. I don't know what you're worried about, Dahl. So you've lasted this long.
Yeah, you know. I always find myself in this position. So yesterday she's talking to her dad. They go in to his room and they come out. She has these masks. And I said, what are you doing with those? She says, I'm going to wear one at the airport tomorrow. Immediately I start laughing like, oh, this I can't wait. No, I know. And now here I am a few hours later talking
to you.
You're
probably going to wear one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Well, I know. I can't wait. I want pictures.
Well,
Dahl, can you take pictures?
Somebody coughing around me or, you know, I just it's better to have them than not.
Well, why don't we ask somebody who has spent a great part of her adult life working in the travel industry. Here's a woman that used to work. Let's get her on here now because she used to work. She's traveled all over the world.
Worn one.
We'll find out. This woman, I believe it's Miss Rachel Hilton. Rachel, welcome to the program. Formerly of some very big companies, Brookfield and Robinson, Butterfield and Quark.
Not to mention heir to the Hilton Hotel chain.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
Sean, fix up the microphone. Dahl, say hi to Rachel.
Hi.
Hi, Rachel.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great.
Good.
Rach, we're going to Phoenix a week from Sunday. Mm-hmm. Look how cute you are today. Will we be wearing masks?
I won't be wearing one, but you can wear one.
I want to wear a wrestler mask.
But I will be sponging down the tray tables and seat area. That's
well,
sure.
I will be doing that as well.
Really?
But those are notoriously the filthiest part of the plane. Anyhow.
The filthiest part of the plane is the tray tables and the seat.
Mm-hmm. And the seat pocket.
Mm-hmm. Do you do that all every time, Rachel, or just now?
I've always done it.
Okay.
Yeah, Rachel Purell's. Hey,
I don't Purell it. I just wipe it.
In 2003, when SARS broke out, where were you working then? You were in the travel?
I was in the travel industry.
Were you?
No, I was at Stratford, actually.
So, but I just wonder how the travel industry is reacting to this, because obviously there's a concern for people traveling and also people who are helping people travel, you know?
Well, I mean, you heard about the flights that are now restricted to China, but I'm sure that there will be lots of people considering trips to, sort of warm Asian, South Asian destinations. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it's just human nature. And I think that there's also maybe a little bit of trepidation around for those companies who offer you know, group trips where there are a lot of Asian passengers.
Rachel told me the story, Dahl, that one of the companies she used to work for, sometimes a group will book the whole
voyage.
Right. And, you know, and there might be an entire group of Asian people and
to control the environment. Right.
Well, they do that because they, you know, they have the language barriers there, and they have enough, you know, they have enough interest to fill a whole ship.
Well, thank
so
you.
It's not, but I think it's more that, you know, I'm sure that there's outbound restrictions as well that are going to be coming for them.
Okay.
I'm just sitting here thinking, next time we fly, Dahl's going to want me to rent the whole plane.
Yeah. Well, seriously, you're Brampton royalty. You can do it.
The whole plane. Yeah.
Hey, Dahl.
Yes, Howard.
I just want to wish you the best. I know you guys are gone for a month. We're going to miss everybody. And
and you as well. You guys are gone for a couple of weeks.
We're gone for a couple of weeks. And, Dahl, have a great time. I've been to that area where you guys are staying. My brother's hooking you guys up with a friend of his that I've met. You're going to have a nice time, and Fred's going to love it. And
the golf guy, Dahl.
The golf guy.
Right. Okay, cool.
Rachel Hilton, thank you for your input this morning. Appreciate it.
Nice to have you.
Sure, it was very
Look,
helpful.
We had both. Have they ever both been on at the same time before?
Oh, maybe? No, I don't
That's
think
great.
So.
That's great.
Yeah, it was
the first.
It's fantastic.
It's Humble and Fred first.
Didn't you guys, when we were for dinner a week or so ago, talk about having a pajama party or something?
We did not. We might. Absolutely did not talk about that.
Oh, okay.
All right.
No, okay,
thank you.
We're not.
No. Dahl was going with it.
He was like, yeah, let's do it. All right, Miss Rachel Hilton, thank you very much, and all the best of luck to you.
Thank you. Have fun.
Bye, guys.
Travel safe.
Thanks, Dolly.
Thanks, Dahl.
All right, Rachel. Thank you, Rachel. That's Rachel Hilton. Yeah. Well, you might, if you, just
I'm going to wear one tomorrow just for the photo op. For the photo op.
Take a mask, picture with your mask.
Now, if I wore one of those surgical masks into the bank, do you think they'd call the cops?
Phil. Phil's laughing his head off.
You have to watch what you're doing with those masks.
Yeah. Listen, if everyone's wearing masks next Sunday, I'm wearing a mask. Why? What do you mean, please don't? I'm older than you. I can't afford viruses. Hey, Phil. Hey, Phil. You're going to love this. So, you know, they don't, you know, it's, they call it, it's the coronavirus, right?
That's right.
And right now, the only antidote is to take the lime from the Corona and put it in the coconut.
That's right.
I've been waiting.
That makes sense.
I know.
Why wouldn't you?
Put the lime in the coconut, Phil.
That's right.
Drink them bowl up.
The lime in the coconut.
We're laughing our heads off. Nobody else is.
No one cares.
It's a pretty old
Rachel.
Reference.
Why did I find that so funny?
No, well, because I knew you would. No, Rachel doesn't find that kind of stuff funny. Hi, Rachel.
Hello.
Hey, we got great news. Speaking of drinking, Sean Sargent's here. Sean, in a second we're going to talk to Sean, doing what a lot of people are doing, going dry for February. I didn't know that was a thing, but Sean's going to explain it. First, let's talk about this.
CDN Technologies, are you getting tired waiting for your computer company to fix things? Are you worried about getting hacked or a data breach? Is your current IT team spending 10 hours on a one-hour problem? Well, we have the solution for you. CDN Technologies, fast, friendly, highly responsive, okay? They should be the people to look after any of your problems. And don't forget the whole preventative thing, too. They're right into that. CDNtechnologies.com. That's how to get a hold of our good friend Barb. She'll look after you. Oh, yeah.
Keep going. Hold on. Just hang on a second. There we go. You're traveling tomorrow. You'll be taking your Gig Sky hotspot, I'm sure. When we go away, we'll have our hotspot with us. You don't really need it, though. You can get the Gig Sky eSIM, now available on the new Google Pixel 4 devices, as well as the Pixel 3 and 3A Gig Sky, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
The same regional and world plans available on the eSIM-enabled iPhones. They're available on the new Google eSIM phones. It's very simple. All the details at humbleandfredradio.com. Click through the Gig Sky link. Badge.
Mm-hmm.
Badge. When are you going? You're going to
next
Cambodia,
Thursday,
right?
Yeah. This time next week. off to China.
And you've gig skied all over the world,
yes,
man.
Yes, I have. Yes, I have.
What's it like? Is it good?
Oh, lovely.
It's the best.
Seamless.
Yeah.
That's what matters.
That's a great thing, no matter what country you go to. Yeah, your cell phone provider's got plans, but they're ridiculous. How dare you? Gig Sky. Our good friends will help you out wherever you are in the world. GigSky.com. Go to Humble and Fred Radio. A lot of people come the new year like to set goals. I believe they're called resolutions. Are they not? Phil?
Yes. I think they're called that.
And I just noticed on Sean Sargent's Facebook that he's going dry for February.
Yes. So it's a charity plan. I don't know. Anybody can do it, and for any reason, really. But it's called Dry Feb, and it's run by Canadian Cancer Society.
Nice.
And the goal is to raise money for whatever reason you're giving up alcohol for the month. And, yes, go dry. See if you can do it. Get donations. I've set a goal for $250. Pretty moderate and reasonable. I got $300 donated last year for doing this. And yeah.
So as soon as you get $250, you drink again?
No, it's just it's motivation to reach a goal. That really, you set a goal and it's for charity, so you want to make as much money as possible. And yeah, I'm dry for February, so it's a physical, personal goal that I'm trying to accomplish, and you know, charitable goal.
So what is the St. George and Georgetown going to do without that revenue?
I don't know how they'll pay the rent for... Huh? I don't know how they'll pay the February rent.
So is your dad doing this too, or just you?
No, just me. He can't do this.
So today is the 30th. Tomorrow's the 31st. So will you be like just nonstop piss tanking it up? Is that what you say, piss tank?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. Well, yeah, I got to have a little bit of fun this weekend before...
well, no, it's Friday.
It's 29 days off, too. It's February. It's a long February this year. So.
Is it?
Well, yeah. I hope you have better luck with this than you did the smokes.
Well, I did this last year. I think I'll be okay.
All You'll right. be fine. Yeah.
And actually, this gives me a reason to, you know, stop the smokes, too, because at the bar where...
Because there's not enough good reasons to stop the smokes.
Yeah, it's the bar's fault that you smoke.
Yeah, it's a social thing, really.
So. No, I get it.
Well,
will you not smoke either, or just smoke less?
The goal is to try and cut back on everything, so I'll probably smoke a lot less and cut down to that's the March goal.
Well, very good. And it's good for you, though. I mean, it's February includes the Super Bowl, which is Sunday. You're going to be watching it dry. You'll have to just eat some of those gummies that have like 250 megs of THC in them.
And I think, you know, if you really want to make a point here, you don't get high either. You don't smoke weed. You don't eat edibles either, okay?
We'll see.
We'll see.
What?
Torture the kid. He's already from Georgetown. Super Bowl's on Sunday. I think, who is it again? Jennifer Lopez and...
Shakira.
Yeah.
No, actually, it's Kansas City and San Francisco.
And Jennifer Lopez versus... What's the over-under on Lopez?
The Chiefs.
The Chiefs. Already the Super Bowl ads are starting to leak into the... culture. Here's I just saw this one. It's a Hyundai ad featuring what's that girl, Rachel Dratch from Saturday Night Live and formerly, and John Krasinski from The Office, and Chris Hemsworth, I think. Anyway, they're all Bostonians. Now what I understand now is, what's the Boston connection? Is it in Boston? No.
So maybe they assume the Patriots were going back.
Probably. Maybe. Because this whole Super Bowl ad is these actors, these famous actors who you didn't maybe know had Boston accents, putting back on their Boston accents for Hyundai.
Hey, Rachel, how are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
He's not getting that car in there.
No, sir.
Look at these two troublemakers.
Hey, Johnny, how are you?
Wicked car. Is that new?
Yeah, it's a Sonata. Let me pack it.
Oh, you're not fitting your car in there.
Chris.
And it's kind of cool because I didn't know Chris Hemsworth. That's the guy who's Thor? No, he's Captain America.
Right.
Who's that guy? Captain America guy. Do you know that guy?
Evans.
Chris Evans. Is that him?
Yes.
And John Krasinski or whatever. So cute. And I just brought it up for a couple reasons. One, I couldn't figure out what the Boston connection was, and maybe that was what it was. But, you know, it's become... The ads are more interesting than the actual game, and the money they spend on it.
And did you know that the CRTC overturned that rule? So we're back to Canadian commercials this year.
Oh, come on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was overturned.
Estimate.
Yeah. So last year they were forced to leave the American feeds as they were. Mm-hmm. So the channel substitution is back in this year. So
right.
Not that you can't see them online, as you just displayed, but, you know.
It's funny. That would be like if you were watching the impeachment hearings, but the CRTC substituted CPAC. Whatever that crap. Right. Whatever that junk we have
like
here.
Like a parliamentary committee
you can't watch that. You must watch the caucus.
And the thing is, I'm pretty sure it's CTV again who have it. Mm-hmm. They go crazy with the show promos.
Yeah.
For their shows, because we're not allowed to run as much commercial time up here as they are in the States. Mm-hmm. So they fill it with all those show promos.
No, yeah, it's too bad.
And they pick one or two and just pound you with it.
So anyway, you're going to be in Mexico if you get there, and you're going to watch it in a sports bar or something.
Oh, yeah.
There would be no end of places on that road.
I've got a picture, and I don't even know where I'm going, but I'm looking at a place that maybe has some big screen TVs, and half the bar is indoor and half is outdoor, and you know what I mean? And just sitting there. T-shirt and shorts, drinking some beers, watching the game. Oh,
it's beautiful,
Howie.
Man.
Howie.
Well, that's really good for you.
Yeah, it is.
Good for you.
Yes, good for you. Good for you, Freddie. We talked to her while we're going to talk about it, but you know, we were talking about flying there and people wearing masks. A couple days ago, the U.S. Department of Transportation is proposing a new rule banning emotional support animals on airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have something to say about that, Georgetown?
I have a good story about this, actually. There's a guy in the States that legally went through the process of claiming his beer as an emotional support beer. And he actually did this. This is legit in the States. He was it's stress and anxiety. He managed to get away with it and wanted to prove his point of how ridiculous the different kinds of animals and the different kinds of things people are claiming as emotional support animals. So he claimed beer.
But a beer's not an animal.
No, but inanimate objects you can claim as, you know.
But you can order a beer anyway. You can order a beer on a plane anyway.
But it was about riding on buses and being in public, and he lived this, like, normal public lifestyle.
I guess it came to a head a couple years ago when somebody came on a plane with a peacock.
That's right.
Yeah.
At Denver Airport.
You know, again, that's just selfish. I mean, you may need emotional support from your pet peacock, but that shouldn't impact the rest of... And that's what it is. It's, they're saying that the emotional support animals have threatened the safety and health of passengers and crews. I'm telling you, if the peacock walks by you, you don't know if it's going to go rogue and start peacocking you.
Captain's not prepared for that situation when peacock walks
through. Ladies and gentlemen, we're just waiting for all the peacocks to load and... we'll be pushing back from the gate anytime soon, as soon as the cats and elephants and rats.
In case the emu...
You know, on a serious note, it's, you know, another one of those things done with the best of intentions, and then people just can't let it be.
Nope.
You know, they've got to go too far with it. You know, I'll tell you, I don't want to get on a plane with animals, and I love animals. And we were saying the other day, if it's a seeing eye dog, I understand that. That's a beautiful thing. But now all these individuals making excuses for needing, like, if I pay $500 or $600 or $700 for a plane ticket and I sit down and there's a chihuahua beside me, I'm not happy.
No. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain.
Back to the
Glassman.
Comedy.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. We're currently at 30,000 feet. We've got snakes on the plane. And somebody's emu has taken a crap in economy. And we're going to have to get that cleaned up before we're cleared for landing. Thank you. Now, Charlie brings her chihuahua back and forth from New York in a little tiny bag because it's a small dog. And the dog's pretty good, you know. It's like it just sits in this carrier. Mm-hmm. Once she checks in, you know, from what she tells me, the dog just goes to sleep in the carrier and just, you can literally put it in the overhead or underneath the, like it's a small bag.
Yep.
And that's fine.
No, I get that. And again, that is not an imposition.
No, exactly.
But even like animals in the workplace, this is a growing thing. And we have a dog in the workplace here, but this is the residence and we don't care. Mm-hmm. But if you work somewhere, if one person objects to a dog coming into the workplace, it shouldn't be there.
And what they're doing is they're covering, like, if it's a service, if you have need, like, a seeing eye dog.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's different.
That's different. They're saying service, they have to be, from the new rules we'll propose it, it actually be a working animal versus just like, oh, ladies and gentlemen, we want to welcome aboard a seeing eye goat.
And rhinoceros. A
small horse.
Yes.
Yeah, I would like one of those little ponies.
Yeah.
No, but a lot of these workplaces now, you can just bring your dog because, you know, the dog shouldn't be alone all day. Like, there's no emotional thing attached to it.
No.
And, like, it's like a barnyard now.
Charlie's office, they have 3 or 4 dogs that come to work every day.
Well, that's great if everybody agrees.
Absolutely, if everyone agrees.
I knew this woman who worked at a place, and this woman would bring in a golden retriever that shed all the time.
Oh,
so
nice.
5 days a week it's shedding, so by Friday night the place is covered in hair.
Oh, God.
And did she take the vacuum and vacuum it up? Apparently not.
No supporting the emotional support.
You would. You would vacuum that hair up.
Bloody right, I would.
I know.
I vacuum your hair up.
Exactly. Mr. Goody Goody.
The dog
I'm
wear
I'm
a
with
mask.
Your brother, too. You really are. What did your brother used to say to you about you? You're just like the... You're always,
What?
You're Joe? He said, you used to be, come on, guys, let's clean up. And Joe would be like, okay, Missy, or whatever.
No, Susie.
Little Susie boy.
Okay, Susie.
All right, listen, next week, as I mentioned, Larry Fedoric will be here filling in for Freddie on Monday. Tuesday, Wednesday, the great Dan Duran.
Legend.
The legend of Bagger Dan will be here. Thursday, Scary Pete, a longtime producer. A writer for the show will be here.
With his daughter. Who will perform.
Fantastic. Dylan, Sean, are you in next week? Are you being...
Yes, I will be here.
All right.
Yep.
Fizzy Cocoa Puff.
Hero. Preparing for my, Chinese trip.
Yeah. Also, you and I and Rachel have to talk.
Yes.
Because we were, before this pandemic, planning to go Vietnam, Cambodia.
That's right.
Now we're going to Disneyland. Now, where are we going?
What?
No, I'm kidding. Well, not if there's disease.
Well, Cambodia does have a Wisneyland now.
We're not going to diseases.
No, they're actually working on a new theme park called Wisneyland. Right, that's their idea.
I don't know. We get into a podcast extra? Not really. I think we should just
shut it down.
Listen, have a great holiday.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully I'll be back in a
Fred month. Will check in next week.
Mm-hmm.
And then
with or without a head.
With or without, yeah. And if there are pictures of Dahl and Fred in surgical masks,
okay,
you'll have this exclusive, okay?
Yep.
All right, everybody.
This episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Palma Pasta, CDN Technologies, and our newest sponsor, Sticker U, where you can get your stickers on Queen Street or order anywhere in the world. We broadcast to the planet from the worldwide headquarters of The Humble and Fred Show. More Humble and Fred tomorrow and online at humbleandfredradio.com. Most of all.